Life. All right. It's good to have you all here today and all that we got going on. We have a lot going on. And if you listen to Randy, there's, you know, announcements. There's a lot. So that means it's all good stuff. So just before I begin, I just want to share there's some really good things that are going on. Just not here. I want to share some good things that's going on overseas right now and over in just kind of let you know that. Over in the Middle East right now, you know, we're just getting reports. It's been around a little bit, but the Muslims are beginning to see visions of Jesus, and this is something you can't make up and something you can't force on someone. But many of the Muslims are beginning to see Jesus in their in visions and beginning to draw to Him, and that's an amazing piece that only God can do. Amen. And also in India right now, from the missionary reports, is that in India that they are beginning to see miracles through preaching and through laying of hands. And that's if you look at that, you know, the Muslims are very zealous in what they believe, and they'll go to the frontmost. You know, we hear the passive side, but if you have ever really read a little bit through the Quran and things, this is a very violent piece. And it also contradicts itself in many times what it originally says to where it goes, because it tells you to read the Gospels and follow the Gospels. And we know what the Gospels say, right? And many have come to know Christ through reading the Quran. And then it says to go to the Gospels. And they're reading the Gospels and they're seeing that, wow, who's this Jesus? It talks all about Jesus. And they begin to turn to Him. And so through that, but the main part for them is they're just seeing visions. And so there's a lot going on over there. But in India serves every idol, Buddha, Hare Krishna, every piece of wood, every piece of stone. You're not allowed to, you know, cows walk around, and because they feel like there's reincarnation, and they're beginning to see healings. And why? Because they're all about what they see, and God's using that and showing them that, yeah, God is, you know, a God that is real. And so there are reports now becoming that there are miracles that are happening. So the gospel is still spreading, and the story of Jesus is it. And if you go back in history, you'll look, and the story of Jesus, the story of God and His creation, the story in Genesis where it says man began to call upon God, as the oldest. I mean, it outlasts every, it is before it, every religion in the world. So, so many families, so many children follow a religion because of their parents, and so the traditions, and it gets going down through their genealogy and down through the generations. And the only one that you know, the real deal we know is Christ. And I can share my own things that I've been through, but a person's not going to always listen to what someone else. They have to experience it themselves. And the last piece of that note, I just want to say, you know, just continue to pray for the missionaries that are overseas and pray for them, because their hands are very, very, anytime these things begin to happen, the dark side begins to raise up. And when the dark side begins to raise up, they want to get rid of the missionaries there and get them out of there, because things are changing and they get scared of that. So, but we're here today, right? We're here today as a group of people gathered together under this building, a group of believers believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to follow Him. And hopefully most of you here today are Christians, meaning that you are Christ-like, that you have received Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you believe and understand, knowing what the cross really means, and that it was for you. We don't serve a God that we don't serve a God that is like any of the others that are out there. That this one here is a lie that we serve, and He gave His Son because He loves you, and He found out. You know, we know that we cannot obtain what we need to without the sacrifice and the covering of our sins, and we have. Every one of us have sinned. If we have not sinned, then we call God a liar, and the truth is not in us. So we know that we fall short. So we come to this point where we begin to follow Christ, and things begin to happen. Things begin to, you know, when you're a new believer in Christ, the good things are awesome and happening, and things go, and we begin to walk in our life. And sometimes we get some bumps in life because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that is not perfect. So becoming a Christian doesn't mean your world becomes perfect, but it begins to mean you understand and know that you serve a perfect God. So you have a perfect God that's going to work and serve, is going to do things in your life, and you're going to serve Him, and things are going to go great for many times. There's going to be some offsets from time to time. It's not because God's offsets; it's because we get there sometimes. So what I want to talk to you about today is a little bit is a topic I've never really talked about before, but it's something about when we feel disconnected. Sometimes we just feel like, man, I'm just doing the church thing, I'm doing the things, I'm doing things, but I'm not feeling it. So today I want to I want to help you who feel disconnected. Sometimes we, in our worship, it's like, man, I want to sing, but I ain't feeling it. I just am not getting the worship that I really need to put into it. When I pray, I feel like my prayers are just bouncing all over the place. I might feel alone. I might feel just empty inside. I know that I'm a Christian, but why do I feel this way? What's going on? Someone asked, when I was doing this, I was putting together just some statements, but I said, you know, I think it's better if I put it through questions. So each one of these six questions may not be for you, but if a couple of these are for you, you might be disconnected. You might somewhere have this disconnection somewhere, and the thing is, in your heart and your spirit, you want to get reconnected, okay? You want to get reconnected. You want to figure out, how can I get reconnected? Because every one of us has come to a point in our walk and our journey with Christ, felt like there's a moment where we were just alone. We felt like what we were doing wasn't making any sense. We felt like what we were doing wasn't really working. And so we're going to work through that today. We're going to work through that. So I want to ask you six questions. Number one, I want to ask you a question. First of all, have I strayed? So have you strayed? I'm going to ask you, ask that question in your heart and your spirit. Say, have I strayed? And the Bible says in Psalms, it says this, I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. But he says, I have strayed like a lost sheep. That means I have wandered from the fold. I have kind of slipped away. I have kind of done this kind of like maybe started real close and then all of a sudden just one little step at a time, I've drifted away. I have strayed away. Let me share little things, a couple of things with straying away. First of all, we know when we stray away, when we spend less time in the church than we used to. We spend less time with Christians than we used to. God is not on our mind like he used to be. We found other things to come and to become more important. Our attitude isn't as positive about God as it used to be. So I'm going to ask you a question. How is this going for you? Have you strayed away from the Lord? Have you strayed away? Because we live in a world that is so fast-paced. It is easy to stray. It is easy to slip away. It is easy to just peel off from the pack. So that's number one. Have you strayed away? Number two, do you need to repent? Is there something going on in your life that you know that's not right? There's something that you have maybe done that you know wasn't right, and you've not dealt with it. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, okay? This is how we fix this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all of our unrighteousness, right? If there's some sin in your life, okay, let me tell you. As a non-believer, if you don't believe in Christ, you have your sins, and your sins are yours, and you will stand before God and stand accountable. And you'll have to pay for that, and you can't pay for that. So we have this place, there's this place that many people don't want to believe in, but it's a place called hell, and that's just the way it is. But for Christians, when we sin, we jump on the bandwagon. It's like, oh, man, all my sins are forgiven, those kind of things. But listen, when we sin before Christ and we're living as a Christian, it isn't that we need to go back and get salvation again. So we just need to fess up. That's just right down to the bottom of it. We just need to fess up, and we need to go to God, and we need to say, Lord, forgive me. I screwed this up. I'm messing with this. I'm doing some things I'm not doing. That's right. I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, this is one of the questions is, if you got this going on, you are going to feel disconnected from God. There's a wedge between you and him. There's something you have not dealt with. That's that sin piece those things that you're doing that are not godly, those things in your life that are not right before him, and you're trying to live, and you want to do it right, but why do I feel disconnected from God? Because this is going on in your life. This stuff is happening right now. It's the real deal. So you have that. So that's why we feel sometimes a disconnect. Because if we have that disconnection, then we're not connected. But as a Christian, we know what it's like to be connected to Christ, and we want that. We want that. But when there is sin in our life, when there's sin in our life, we need to repent. We need to go to Christ, and we need to repent. If you don't, and this is a part of you, and you can, if I ask you the question, do you need to repent? And in your spirit, you're like, man, I'm wrestling with it. And I'm telling you, if you're wrestling with it, you're holding on to it. And you need to let it go. And the only way to let it go is to give it to Christ, go to Him, seek forgiveness, and step away from it. And when you step away from it, then that disconnection drops away, and then you start connecting with the Lord. You start reconnecting with God again. But I'm asking you the question, do you need to repent today? Because if you're disconnected, I'm telling you, you cannot pass this piece here. You cannot go through this question. If you're disconnected, this could be a big one for you, okay? Number three, are you carrying a heavy burden, a heavy weight? You can't be God. You're not God. I'm not God. We can't carry the things that God carries. We can't fathom the things that God does. We can't fathom. We read His Word, but truthfully, if any man say he understood all the Word of God, he doesn't understand it. No. We can't fathom all the awesome things that God has for us, but we also can't fathom all the things that's going on in the world today. We carry some weight that we shouldn't be carrying. There are so many Christians right now that are so worried about the end of the world. There's so many Christians right now that are so worried about ISIS coming over. There's so many Christians in the world that are worried about everything that's going on in the world, and they can't even be the Christian that God's called them to be. They're walking around with chains on, and when we have Christ, we should be free. Amen? We should understand and know what it's like to be free. We talked about that last week, having peace when it don't make no sense. I'm asking you, are you carrying a heavy weight? Jesus has a great, great answer to that. He says, here, I have a solution to that. If you're carrying a great weight, He says this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you carrying some things in your life right now? Some of that can be sin, but some of it can be worrying. Some of it can be stress. Some of it's anxiety. Some of it's about what's going to happen in your future, about a test result, about a relationship. And I'm telling you, Jesus says, if you come to him, he'll take that weight away. And I'm telling you, sometimes when you gotta speak with someone about this stuff, and it's really tough in that moment, it's hard, yes. But when you walk away and you do the right thing, you're gonna feel a release that only comes from Christ, because you laid it down and he picked it up. He says, if you come unto me, I will give you rest. I'll give it to you. You don't have to carry that load. There's so many things going on right now in New Life and the ministries and my life and in your life. There's no way we can carry it all. Amen? I got to give some of that stuff to the Lord and let Him carry that weight. And that makes me want to draw. So that reconnects us. But if we're carrying that weight, we are disconnected. No wonder why we feel, because we're letting the stress be more and heavier than our love and compassion for the Lord is. Number four. Are you experiencing God's peace? That's a peace that only comes from Him. It tells us in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. God says, I give you a peace that the world that cannot give to you. How does that work? Because when we're disconnected and we're living in the world, there's a peace that could be there, but it's nothing, because peace is only for the moment. But with Jesus, it's everlasting. It's a peace that even when you're going through hard times, it's a peace that doesn't make any sense. Through a test result, through an upset marriage, through some boyfriend girlfriend stuff, through some things at school, through some things at the work, and some bad things happen. But there's still that inner peace. There's a peace that still helps you get through it, and that only comes from God. It's a peace. Jesus says, I give you a peace that the world cannot give to you. But you got to do it my way. You got to go through Him. You have to go through Him. He's the giver. We are the receiver on this. So we have to go to the giver on this. So we need to know that if we are not experiencing God's peace, then we're not having the connection that God wants us to have with Him. Because when we're not connected and we're not having the peace, we're coming up to Him frazzled. We're coming up to Him with no peace. We're coming up to Him with everything and all the junk that we have in life. So we're coming up to him. And if we're not going to do what the previous verse says, if we're not going to lay it down, we're just going to come up to him and talk to him for a moment and then grab all of our junk and walk away from him. Yes, there is a disconnection. It doesn't work that way. You're asking for something. You're trying to do something. And why is he going to give to you and do all those things for you when you're carrying all this other junk and you're asking for one more thing? You're asking him to take one thing, but you want to keep the rest of the junk. That don't make no sense. I'm asking you, do you have the peace right now that only God can give? And if you have that, that's good for you. But if not, you could be at this point where you are not connected. You are not connected. You have a disconnection with God right now. Things don't go well when you're disconnected from God. What you've done is you've taken the steering wheel and you said, I can do better at driving my life than God can. And I guarantee you, it's not. It may look good in the moment, but there's some things that's coming around the bend that you will never be able to take care of. Never. Because you're not that good at it. You're not that good at it. Number five. Here's the big one. Being disconnected from God, the question for number five is, have you stopped seeking him? Other things have become more important. Let me tell you for a minute. I just want to stop for a minute. Let me tell you something. Your future, you can plan for your future. You can save all the money you want to save. I don't care how much money you got. You can save it. I don't care how healthy and how much you work out. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care if you got a house that's paid for and you got two cars that's paid for. I'm going to tell you something. You don't get it forever. There's no promise that you get that forever. When it comes to savings accounts and 401ks, we know what happened in 2006. Everybody was crying. They had all their money wrapped up in that. Cars rust out. Next thing you got to get another one. But in the end of it is, you don't get to live that long. You think you have 80 years, but there's no promise for you to have 80 years. Look in the obituary. There are all those people in there. They never thought they were going to die at that moment. They never thought they were going to get those diseases. They never thought that they were going to get killed in a car accident and they're 25 years old because they think they're a good driver because you're just 19 and nobody can tell me what to do. Let me tell you, when your life is demanded of you, it's demanded of you. And all the junk that you have in the world and all the kind of treasures that you have in the world, they're only temporary and somebody else gets them. When you leave this world, somebody else gets it. And we got so many people seeking these things. We got Christians seeking all these things. Yes, and God says he knows you need some of these things. And he'll give you a lot of those things, but don't let those things come in front of your relationship with God. Don't let these things come in front of your relationship with God. So here it is. Have you stopped seeking him? Jeremiah 29:13 says this before he says all of, you know, the prior scriptures of that is these, I have plans for you. Right? All the good stuff. But here's the part that a lot of us don't read. You will seek him and find me. Or you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let me tell you, if your worship is just on Sunday morning and your prayer time and your Bible reading is just on Sunday morning, you're not seeking him with all your heart. You're seeking him with one day. You're seeking him with, I'm trying to notch off my box to say that at least I did that. Seeking him with all your heart means everything that you are, everything that you are in your being. You know, when a couple is dating, they have a tendency to know when something is off. Amen. We've all dated, right? Even if we're married, we've dated before. As married couples, you know when it's really off. And all you got to do is get the look. All you got to do is get a few words. It's a different tone. Are you angry today? Are you upset this morning? Are you bad today? Or what's the matter? What's up with you? What's going on? What's this obstacle? Why? Let me tell you something, because that's a relationship. The same thing goes on with our relationship with the Lord. How can we go to God and think that our relationship with the Lord is great when we don't even really spend any time with him? When all he does is hear our anger. All he does is hear our complaints. All he does is hear those things. And then when we come up to him and then we're like, wow, you know, it's like, are you trying to avoid me? Sometimes we want to go up to pray when something's going on. And sometimes I think maybe the Lord is saying, where you been? What do you need now? Because that seems to be our relationship. You come to me when you need something only. What's going on with you and I? The things that God wants to talk about, usually it's not the things you want to talk about, amen? That's why sometimes when we're praying, we need to zip our lip and listen. But if we're not seeking Him, listen to me now. If you're not seeking Him, you're seeking someone else or something else. And then we wonder, wow, is there a disconnect between me and my relationship with God? Yes, if you're not seeking Him, you're seeking Him, you're seeking something or someone else. And in that relationship, God says, I created you. I and you are one. I need to be, you know, God needs to be number one. Number six. It all comes down to love. Let me share this with you. About it all comes down to love. Love is one of those big words that means so much. To where I love pizza, to where I love my nation, to where you love someone that you give your own life for. It's like all these different styles of love. But it's amazing. Like if a woman doesn't like to fish, she says, I don't like that. But a man could say, man, I just love fishing. Man, it's always out there fishing all the time. But sometimes a woman will love a man so much that she will go fishing. She will do something that she does not like to do because she loves the one that she's with. And that's a great love. We're supposed to have a type of love like that, that we may not like all the things that goes on in our lives. We may not like some of the things that's going on in the world. We may not like sometimes getting up on Sunday morning and really say, man, I just really want to take the day off. I don't want to go into worship, but if I don't, then I'm not going to be there for another 7 days. And I don't want to read today. I don't want to pray. But when you love someone so much, you will sacrifice for that person that you love. And in Revelation 2, Jesus says this big thing about this church. This is about this big church here. He says, man, I know everything you do is awesome. Your actions show everything, but there's something that's wrong, and it's the main thing that I really want. Your actions and your works, yes, I want those, but if you don't do them with the right from the right purpose and from the right place, this is what he says. He says, I have something against you. We don't like it when God says that. But he's winning our attention. He says, I have something to hold against you. He says, you have forsaken, you have forgotten the love you had at first. He said, this is what it is. You have fallen out of love with me. And I will tell you this. One of two things. One, if we are falling out of love with someone else, there's something wrong with that relationship, and it may not need to be. Sometimes those relationships don't need to be. Or we're falling in love with someone else. But he says, consider how far you have fallen. He says, you have fallen. Your love, I don't feel your love. Your love is not there. And so we have a disconnect. We could be doing all kinds of things in the church and our ministries and everything. But if there's no love for Christ, he's not happy with it. It's not right. It's not out about all what you do. It's where what all you do, where it comes from. And it's got to funnel through your heart. It has to funnel through your heart and fueled by love. Serve because I love Jesus. Teach because I love Jesus. Clean because I love Jesus. Preach because I love Jesus. I'm getting my life together because I want to love Jesus. And I love Jesus for what he's done for me and what he's doing for me. He's re-getting my life together. And I am not so good at getting it together. And I found out that he loves me so much that he wants to be a part of my life. And then he says this. Listen, he says, listen, you've fallen out of love for me. You was here and then you fell here because your heart, I can't find myself in your heart. But he says, this is what you can do to fix it. He says, repent. We talked about that. Repent and do the things you did at first. And do the things you did at first. Got to do it out of love. Out of love. Not just out of works, but out of love. So these six things that we were talking about could really put you in a moment, in a place where you say, why am I disconnected? Why do I not feel the Lord? Why do I not feel? So I want to tell you how you get healthy again. Because if you are disconnected, you have an unhealthy spiritual life right now. You're no good for anybody right now. You may be able to do a couple things, but you're really no good for anyone, and you're really no good for yourself right now, and you're not prompted up to do much in the church because it's not right. You're not right. You're not healthy, okay? You're not healthy. So we want to help you get spiritually healthy again. How many of y'all have been spiritually sick before? I have been spiritually unhealthy before. Wow, only about 3 or 4 of us. Woo! All right. So how many of us have been spiritually unhealthy before? Listen, if you had attitude against the church, you've been spiritually unhealthy. If you had an attitude against one of your brothers or sisters in the Lord, you have been spiritually unhealthy. So let's know this, spiritually unhealthy, we want to reverse that and become spiritually healthy. And let me stop for a moment and say, your attendance in church does not make you just spiritually healthy, okay? Amen? That's my granddaughter, just to let you know, okay? So, we need to be spiritually healthy. I want to be spiritually healthy. I can walk through, and I'm no magical person, but I can walk through and I can feel sometimes when people are not spiritually healthy. Matter of fact, I can feel, God has given me the spirit of discernment, I'll share it with you. I can feel things going on, certain things in their life. I know sometimes when married couples are struggling, I know when people are struggling, I know when people are dating they're struggling, and all those kind of things. I know those things. I didn't make it happen, it's just the way God just gifted me in a certain way. And then Sunday mornings, it just seems like everybody comes in with a smile on their face and everything is just grand and great. And let's be honest, it's not. It's not. So we got a lot of spiritual people supposed to be here today, but some of us are healthy, some of us are right in the middle, and some of us are unhealthy. But you're here, and God sees that. That's a good step. You did that. So I want to share with you some things on how to get spiritually healthy. Now, these look simple, but when you're disconnected, they're hard. Because you're trying to realign yourself. You're not making yourself perfect. I want to get you right now. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. But you're going to try to realign yourself up to being spiritually healthy, okay? I've been struggling with my asthma a little bit. And I've been really wanting to work out. I'm a runner. I like to work out. And it's just driving me crazy because I want to get back over to Planet Fitness. I'm paying for this membership. I'm not using it. And it's driving me crazy. I want to get back over there. But some health issues is not working me over there. But it's just, and sometimes it's really just me not going. And I want to go. So there's got to be that oomph to go. This is a battle I'm working through myself. And I'm going through this. I'm like, yes, I can see some things. Physically healthy is what I'm trying to get to. But spiritually healthy, it is hard. But it's not impossible. It's possible. You can do this thing. You can get spiritually healthy again. All right? Number one. Okay? We went through the 6 things. And if you, there was one or maybe one of those, you can be spiritually unhealthy, but disconnected from the Lord. Now, if you got 2, 3, 4, 5, or all 6 of those, you are super sick spiritually, okay? It's time to get better, okay? It's time to get better, but you got to want it, okay? So, number one, you got to pray. Now, we think, oh, okay, I'm praying. Yes, wait a minute. I didn't say go in there with a big list of things you want. I'm talking about going and praying, saying nothing. I'm talking about going in and praying and asking someone else to pray with you. I'm asking you to, you know, if you're going to pray, you go up to, you share just maybe with 1 or 2 people that you really, really trust and say, listen, I am really needing your prayers. You may share it with one, you may not share it with the other. They don't have to know that you talked to either one of them, but you need some backup. You need some prayer power behind you and with you. You're weak. So get some prayer power, prayer people, right? Prayer warriors. Get some people who love to pray. They will pray for you. And so you need to pray and you need to make it real. Don't go in with an agenda. Go in, just say, oh, this is my time, I'm going to pray. And sometimes you're going to walk in there and you're going to walk out and you're praying, you're going to be dry, whatever it is, you're going to, man, I just didn't feel right. It's okay. You just got to keep doing it. You know, when you go out and you work out, the first couple of weeks are always tough. First couple of weeks going back to working out from not working out, it's the hardest. It's the hardest, okay? So you got to go back to praying, because I guarantee you this, if you're disconnected from the Lord, your prayer life has just took a nosedive. Amen? If you're disconnected from the Lord and you're spiritually unhealthy, the first thing that drops is your prayer life. Actually, it's the second thing, but it's the first thing. It's the second thing. It just drops. Because number one is the second one, reading the Bible. Because we have a hard time with that anyway already. Amen? Some of us have a hard time with that. This is why I'd advise you to put a New Testament book, in a Bible in your car, your whatever truck, whatever you drive. And not that you're driving it on, but when you get places where you get a moment to stop and you're there early, pick it up, read something. Put a marker in there. Start in Psalms. Start in something. Start in Proverbs. Start somewhere. Read through the Gospels. Take one chapter. But you got to start digging in the Word, because God speaks from His Word. Amen? You that are spiritually healthy know that God speaks through His Word. So if we want to get spiritually healthy, we need to pick up the Bible. We need to read it. Listen, most people that don't want to pick it up, it offends them. You know why it offends them? Because it gets in their face, and there's things in there that they don't like, because it offends them, because it convicts them. They know they're living wrong. And a relationship with Jesus for a lost person is not trying to how to get your life right and then come to Jesus. Jesus accepts you the way that you are. But he loves you enough not to leave you where you're at. He'll pick you up just the way that you are. He'll love on you, and he'll start working in your life. Slow steps sometimes. But we need to pick up the Word of God. We need to start reading it. We're going to start to reconnect him. Remember, we're trying to line back up. We're pulling ourselves back up to the Lord. We want to get back where we were before, and even better. We want to do that. So we'll start praying. We're going to start, Lord, give me the strength to read your Bible. Give me a hunger to read your Word so that I can read it. Give me insight so I might understand it. Lord, I struggle with certain things. Well, call somebody else up. Oh, maybe I need to join Sunday school. Maybe I need to get in there with some other people. So at least start something. Listen, if you start and you like go to Sunday school, or you come on Wednesday nights, or you pick up your Bible, you're doing more than you did before. So you are lining up, right? Don't expect to go boom, boom, just like that. It's a drawback, okay? It's a drawback, all right? There's things that God doesn't want you to go from here to here just like that, because there's some things God wants to do from here to there, all right? So number one, we pray. All right? It's something that me and my wife are working on. We're trying to pray before we go to, we go to bed. We don't hit it every time, but we're doing better than we ever were before. Praying together is important, not just at mealtimes, but we're really working on that because we're so busy, and it's just something that we're working on. That's the hardest piece that we have, is to pray together. But it's worth it. It's worth it for us. So praying, reading the Bible, and worship. Worship is important. Worship is huge. It doesn't mean you just worship in the church house, but you worship when you're going down the road. You know, I listen to country music once in a while. I listen to some other stuff once in a while. I listen to some podcasts. I listen to some preaching. I listen to Christian music. But there's times when I say, you know what, I just need to focus. So I'll throw on some gospel music or some whatever, and I just drive, and I'm paying attention to the road, and I'm just praying with my eyes open, and I'm worshiping, thanking the Lord, and I get to my destination. I just take a moment, turn it off, say, thank you, Lord, and I walk out and do business. You can worship that away. Amen? Y'all ever experience that? I know some of y'all do. Y'all, you know, you can do that. There's a private place in your car. You just go. And then there's other places in your house, in your life, wherever it may be. So worship just doesn't need to be just on Sunday. But when the church house is open, you need to be there. You need to be there. You need to be there on Sunday mornings. You need to be there on Sunday nights when you can. You need to be there on Wednesday night. Be there. So I don't need to be there when the doors are always open. All right. There may be things going on in your life, but listen, we do need to be there. Because we there's some things that happen in that corporate worship that you can't get anywhere else. So worship needs to be important, okay? Again, you're lining yourself up. You're realigning yourself up. Number four, fellowship with other believers. That's part of the worship. I need to be around people. These people that say, I don't need anybody. I can believe in God, and I can do my own thing. And I met a couple of guys that says, I meet God out there when I'm hunting and fishing, and he's the creator of nation, so nature, and I can be out there doing my thing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, those guys that got in the astronauts that went out in space, they were no closer to God than you are. Did you hear what I just said? It's not about where you are. It's not about those things. Listen, I'm sure that's a beautiful sight, but it doesn't make them closer to God than we are, all right? So we need to learn that we need to have fellowship with believers, okay? We need that time. I like having people over. It's been a while since we have some people over from time to time, but it's been, our house has been disarrayed. We're doing some things, but it's hard sometimes because of scheduling, but we need to make it important to be around other believers, because it's encouraging, it's uplifting. And once again, we're realigning ourselves from out here being unhealthy, because look at me for a moment. When you're unhealthy, you got unhealthy people in your life. Can I get an amen for that? Come on now. Where's my minute? Amen. Because when you are away from healthy people, healthy Christians, you're over here, you are around unhealthy people. And they will draw you away and more away from God. And you got to say, I got to stop. And it kind of hurts sometimes, but you got to realign yourself up and say, who am I? I am a person who come to know Christ and know that God created me. I am a being. I am a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman. And so therefore, I need a Savior. I need someone to forgive me and to take care of my debts because I've sinned against God. God did that by giving Jesus, who died upon the cross for all of us. It's the only way that could be taken care of. Death couldn't hold him. He rose again. And we who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We take that. We get it. We got it. We have a relationship. God gives us the Holy Spirit. We have what we need to have success in life and to live a life that's aligned with Christ. And then I remember that. I need to get back with Christ and be who that man that God's called me to be. But when we're disconnected, we're amongst disconnected Christians or amongst the world. It's the same thing I teach in 12-step class and life skill class. You got to change your faces and places. All right? You need each other. We need the fellowship. Number five, we need to stay faithful and fight through this, okay? It's not easy when you're off the track. You got to get back on the track. It's not always easy because we want to quit. We want to get mad because we see somebody else there that caused us to quit or whatever. Listen, your relationship with Jesus is not built on what somebody else is doing in your life. Amen? It's not about where somebody else is and how they hurt you and how they got in front of you and how they, whatever they've done in your life. You need to push that aside. That's a part of that getting realigned, learning how to forgive even when somebody doesn't ask for it. You got to seek forgiveness from the Lord so that you yourself will be right. Okay, you can't make someone else do it, all right? So we need to stay faithful in prayer and reading the Word and worship and being that person. We need to stay faithful, getting realigned, even on those hard days when you want to get upset. And maybe you slipped a few times. You know what? You pick yourself back up and you get back online and you get back on track because you got to fight. It's fight. Because we know that Satan roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's looking for you to tear you and get you away from God. And God's pulling you, and there's a battle, and you want to get realigned with God. You want to get that relationship back up so you can be spiritually healthy. So we need to stay faithful in all these things. Here's the problem. We in America, we think when we fail on one thing that we're done. Well, pack it up, we're done. Listen, God is a God of redos, okay? I love it that he is. You got to redo that. You can redo that. You can redo that. If your heart is right, you can redo that. Okay? If you're just kind of checking off the boxes, that's not really a redo. You're just trying to fool God. You can't fool him. You're just fooling yourself. But when you fail, and you honestly, you fail, you sin, you do something, you know what? You just go to God and you work it out with him. Start working on it. You got to fight. It's not easy, all right? That will put you in headlocks once in a while, but you got to stay there and you got to fight, all right? So stay faithful and fight. And the last one is you got to start serving, okay? It means you got to get out of the pews and you got to start serving. You got to say, you know what? I just can't. I'm getting healthy now, and I need to start getting back into some things that God where I can use my gifts that God's given to me, and I'm going to keep serving. So I'm going to start doing some things. So some of the most healthiest people in the church are people that are doing some things. Not always are they healthy. I don't want to say doing things is what makes you healthy, but it's a process of keeping you in line, okay? Keeping you aligned with your relationship with Christ so that you can reconnect. I don't know about you today, but you know what? I know I, myself, even as a pastor of New Life Fellowship, I need to continue to look at my and examine my life to say, Lord, am I drifting in an area? Do I have something in my life I need to take care of? Am I carrying weight that I shouldn't be carrying? And you know, am I got, you know, do I have this peace? Why do I not have peace? Why am I letting anxiety and stress roll over on me? And those kind of things. It's like, wait a minute. I'm just connecting. I got to get reconnected. So I come back up and reconnect myself up with the things of God and work those things out. I don't know about you, but that's a process that sometimes I feel like I'm continuously going through quite often because we can get caught up in ministries, we can get caught up in the work. But listen, and the big one is the last one. Have I fallen out of love with the Lord? Why am I doing these things? Is it a job or is it because I love the Lord? And hopefully that you'll say, man, I just love the Lord. I love the Lord, and this is why I do these things. So I'm really asking you today, do you feel disconnected from the Lord? Do you feel disconnected from Jesus Christ? If you feel disconnected, I'm telling you, you've answered the question yourself. You're disconnected. And the way to get reconnected is to start working it out with God, having a conversation with him. Begin to start praying, Lord, open up the communication, because all the other stuff you're bringing to him, that's all secondary. That's not the important thing. The important thing is that you get yourself right with Christ. That's the key. That's the key in living a successful life in the world, in a broken world, is making sure yourself and God, that you have that relationship that is the way that he wants it. Let him be the Lord. Let him be God. Let him be your Father. When you take those roles, you don't do so good. I don't do so good. And I find myself disconnected. I want to be connected with the Father. I want to be connected with him. He's perfect, I am not, but he accepts us the way that we are. Isn't that amazing? The grace of God is just amazing. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you feel disconnected in your relationship with Jesus Christ today? And if you do, what are you going to do about it? You can leave today, And you can carry that same old weight and be in that same old place. But I will promise you this, it will not get better and it will not get easier. It will only get harder and more difficult. But if you admit it today that you say, you know what, I have somewhat of a disconnect in my life with my relationship with Christ. I want to get realigned. I want to get spiritually healthy. And maybe today you just need to pray and say, Lord, start working in me a freshness in my life. Stir my heart. Work it out. Start getting yourself realigned. And that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. We're going to open up the altar, and if you want to come and pray, you can pray. And I'll pray with you. If you want to pray on your own, you can pray on your own. But listen, don't walk out of here with all that junk. Don't carry that junk out of here with you. There might be some things that you, doesn't mean if you lay it down that you're not going to have to deal with some of that stuff out there. You will. But you've started the process of becoming spiritually healthy again. Our churches across America are spiritually sick. A lot of them are. And what makes churches? People. So it's sickly church means sickly people. We don't want to be there. We want to be spiritually healthy. Amen? Amen. So let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to give you an opportunity today. If you want to come and pray, the altar is open for you. If you want to come and ask me any questions about Jesus and what he is and who he is and how all that works, I'll try to answer the best I can with you down here with what questions that you have. But I want you to know today that you don't have to be where you're at. If you don't like it, you've got to make a move to fix it. The only one that can fix it first is you wanting it, and Jesus is going to do what he's going to do. That's a great thing. It's a great place to be when you're at the feet of Jesus, no matter what it is. And if it's a very difficult thing, I will tell you this. Peace, true peace, only comes from God. Only.